We do need your prayers this morning and thankful for the blessings that God has given to us here in this meeting. It's been a real privilege to be here and thank you for your hospitality and your faithfulness, and just being able to see you again is a whole lot. We appreciate the time that we've experienced here. I want to talk to you this morning. I'm not going to beat around the bush. I have something to talk about. I want to talk about secrets. Secrets. And there's good things that we can learn from secret things. And I have some good things to share with you about secrets. I worked for a man one time that he never would hardly tell me anything that he learned. He said, he had an attitude, I learned it the hard way, you can learn it the hard way. But then I worked for another man, and he let me look in his toolbox, and he showed me all the little tools that he had made. He had little wrenches to fit little injectors on Cummins engines, and he had all kinds of little tools that he homemade. He made all these little tools, and it was real neat to look in his toolbox. And this man would teach me everything. He was a good teacher. I wish I could have been around him longer. I could have learned a whole lot. There's a lot of things that the older saints know and they've experienced that I want to find out their little secrets. How they've made it with the Lord. That's what I'm talking about this morning. I'm not talking about your where you've hid your can of money out in your backyard or what you have some dark shadows in your life. I'm not really talking about those kind of secrets. This morning I want to concentrate on the secret of living for God. Amen. Do you know, when I look at the white heads and I see the elderly saints, they have some things that they have gone through, that they have kept the faith, they have been able to be stable in an unstable world, and that really does my heart good. Amen. I really appreciate hearing testimonies of the older ones, how they have made it. And you know, we need that today. We need the Lord to help us, and we need to help each other through life to be able to make it. I was listening to Paul Harvey before he passed away, and he talked about a woman that shared one of her secrets to long life. And you know, that's one big topic. When we hear somebody that's lived 100 years, oh, tell me your secret. I want to know what you did. She said she took a spoonful of Vaseline each day. That was her secret. Well, there's... that's one of them I don't think would be that good. It wouldn't be fitting to me. But that was her secret. If we could all get into what Colonel Sanders did to that chicken, you know, maybe we'd have us a few restaurants too. He had a secret, didn't he? A secret recipe. And people love his chicken. I do. I'm one of them. I'm a fan of Kentucky Fried Chicken. You know, you let me have some of that and I'll do pretty good with potatoes and gravy. That's wonderful. There's a secret recipe that he has. One time as a young person, I was at one of the camp meetings, and it was in December and it was cold. And there was this elderly brother came in the dormitory there, had on a big old coat, and he opened his coat up, unwrapped something, and I heard him crack down on something and eat it. I knew it stunk real bad. And he looked over there and saw me, and he said, you know, this is my secret thing for, you know, your heart. And he was eating garlic, and it had quite an odor. And I didn't know. I thought, as I was laying there on my little bunk, and I looked up, and I didn't know if I was supposed to be seeing this or not. It was kind of his little secret to long life was eating garlic. Well, I'm here to tell you this morning, not about Kentucky Fried Chicken, not about eating garlic, but about secrets of living and making a success in our life for God. And I don't have them all. I don't have all of them. I have a few of them that I've learned along the way, but I don't have all of them. And that's why he said, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. Because you can learn secrets. You can learn things from people if you'll listen long enough that'll help you in your life. There's little things you'll pick up here and there, little tidbits of information that is the key to unlocking some of your problems that you have. I found it to be so. That's why we need one another. We can't isolate ourselves. We can't become so independent. That's a bad word. Independence is something in our Christian life that we need to be careful of. So pray for me this morning. The book of Psalms, the 25th Psalm. I would like to start off here, and I need the Lord to help us. I have several scriptures, but they don't really mean anything unless the Lord gives us inspiration. And we do need that today. The book of Psalms, the 25th chapter and the 14th verse, it says this: "The secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him, and He will shew them His covenant." Secret number one, fear the Lord. Have a healthy fear of God in whatever you do. If we put God first, don't you see in life, if we fear Him and we desire Him more than anything else and we want to please Him, there's a healthy fear that'll help us to overcome some obstacles. And folks, I see sometimes we get hung up on things and we don't prosper like we should spiritually. And I wonder, have we missed a secret? Young people, listen, a healthy fear of the Lord will keep you from things. It'll keep you from getting in trouble. The Bible said the prudent man foreseeth the evil and he hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. I want to be prudent. I want to realize that there is a God that is watching my steps, that I want to be careful in my selection of friends. I want to be careful what I listen to, what I look at. I want to be careful in that. I want to have a healthy fear of the Lord. So that's number one. A secret, if you'll tuck that in your mind and keep that in your memory, that'll help you in life. The fear of the Lord, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him. This morning, that is such a wonderful thing to have, the fear of the Lord in our life. It will keep us from things, from just blundering and blindly going into things that we don't belong there anyway. All right. There is a blessing. In the 15th verse, it says, "Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for He shall pluck my feet out of the net." Thank God that He can help us when we get in trouble. He is there to pluck our feet out of the net. I don't know if you've ever been caught up in something. You ever get in some muck and mud that you just pulled your boots clear off your feet? Well, the Lord can help us when we get in trouble. And He's looking to do that for us. The fear of the Lord is one secret that we need in life. Amen. So, I want to move on now. I have something that I picked up from a man, A.W. Tozer. He wrote this: "One of the world's worst tragedies is that we allow our hearts to shrink until there is room in them for little beside ourselves." We need to have a focus upon in life more than just ourself and our little world. I love to see the work of the Lord keep going on. And I've heard this saying that it started off 80% of the people, or 20% of the people do 80% of the work or something. I believe it's about 2% of the people do about 90% of the work. I want to tell you, if we don't get our hands dirty, we don't get our hands involved in something and helping and doing and working, we're going to shrink till we get down to a little old self. That's a tragedy. Amen. The Lord, open our eyes this morning and help us to see the fields. They're white and ready to harvest. There are things for us to do. Unless the children see the parents doing it, there's going to be a generation that does very little. And God, help us today to keep the vision. Where there's no vision, the people perish. It takes about two generations to lose people from God. I have saw it with my eyes. I've seen how things can get lost so quickly. When we lose a contact with God, our children lose it, and then their children, a lot of things are gone. Lord, help us today. Little secrets will keep us in tune with God. And one of them is having a fear of the Lord. Number two, let's look in the book of Matthew, the 18th chapter. Matthew, the 18th chapter, and the first verse. I'll read this quickly. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, "Who is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus called a little child unto Him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name, receiveth me." Humility is what we're talking about now. Humility. Humility in the smallest matters of life. Humility will help us so much in life. Pride is the opposite of humility. Pride will keep us from God. Pride will keep us in an elevated, exaggerated opinion of ourselves, who we are, who we think we are. Can you imagine them saying that about me? Can you imagine having the attitude that we feel superior to other people, that we feel like there is nobody else but me? I was telling my nephew going to Mexico not long ago, and I say this is an embarrassment, and please forgive me, but I have to tell him myself again. I was telling my, trying to bring the point, how God uses things to humble people to my nephew. I was telling him that the Lord uses, and we was on our way to Mexico and was at the Dallas airport, and you know, I'm going to make the story short. When I came out of the restroom, I had a piece of tissue paper this long coming out of my pants. My nephew was walking behind me, and he said, "Uncle James, was you not telling me about things just a little bit ago about humility?" He said, "There's something that's hanging out of your pants." Oh, there in that airport, I was hoping. You know, everybody was looking the other way. But do you know something? They weren't. You know, humble, God has a way to humble you. And hopefully, we can take those little admonishments and we can take those little things and profit from them. I hope we can do that. Yeah. Humility. What does it take? Why are we having struggles with God, folks, this morning? Could it not be we're trying to do things in our own strength, and we're trying to build up some name or some face or something that we look so good, and God's saying, "Forget about that. I want you to humble yourself before me. Yeah. I want you to forget about making this image and putting on an air and walking around in such pride. I want you to just think about serving me."
Yes.
Who do you think you are anyway? You know, Job got down there and the Lord said, "Job, did you make all the wind? Did you put all these things?" He said, "Gird yourself up like a man and come here and get up and talk to me a little while." And Job felt like nothing. "Did you do these things, Job? Was you there before the world was created?" And he couldn't say anything. And really, neither is our argument worth anything either. Sometimes we have arguments and things, and it's all around because we won't humble ourselves. We need to ask God to humble us and to help us in a very special way. Humility. Jesus took the little child and He set him in the midst and said, "Unless you become like one of these, you're not going to be anything in the kingdom of God." It takes humility. I want to read a verse of Scripture in the book of Proverbs 22:4. It says, "By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life." By humility. Did you hear that? Secret number two, humility. Folks, let's not let these things get away from us. I know you've heard these scriptures before. This is not nothing new to us. But if we let things slip and we let it get away, pretty soon we begin trying to solve problems ourselves, and we're floundering, and we're looking, oh, what kind of, I need a special answer from the Lord. And He's saying, here's what we need. The answer's right before you. The answer's right in front of us many times, and we stumble over things. You see, that's what He said about the prudent man. He foresees the evil and he hides himself. The simple pass on and they're punished. May the Lord bless us this morning. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life.
Amen.
The prodigal son, he had a fortune in his hand, but not in his heart. He squandered the fortune that was in his hand. And he got out there and wondered, what am I doing out here? How come I let myself do that? He squandered it. Many people squander riches. But if you have something in your heart, something that's real, it'll keep you. When your riches are all gone, that treasure in your heart will keep you. How many times we see people squander their life and waste away. And God, all He wants is your heart. All He wants is your life. He wants you to humble yourself. He wants you to walk with Him and learn how to go hand in hand with Him. God is a good God this morning. Sometimes we see people that are looking for great occasions to serve God. They're looking for great occasions to serve Him. And all around Him, all around that person, there's little ones that are surrounding us, but we're looking for that great occasion.
Yes.
We want that great time to serve God. Hold it now. Here's a crowd. Now there's a crowd. Let me get up here and I'll sing my song. How about singing it over there to just one or two people at a nursing home? How about going and doing little things that people can't ever see, that nobody will ever know about? How about doing that? We look for those great opportunities, and that's a root of pride. God wants to humble us, I tell you today. We can't serve Him and live for Him with pride sticking out in our life. He wants to help us today. Lord, have mercy on me and help me. I need You so much. I remember not long, well, it's been a year ago or so, I was talking to the teaching a class and telling them at the jail how they needed to clear their conscience. And this lady came to me and she said, "Sir, I need to talk to you bad." And I said, "Well, we're out of time. The guard's waiting to take everyone off." "No, I need to talk to you. I need to talk to you." And she pressed me and I said, "Well, when I'm teaching the class, I don't have much time, and there's other little things," but she said, "I killed my husband, and I just want to clear my conscience." And I was shocked somewhat, but I didn't, you know, they have a lot of stories, and sometimes I don't know what to say, so I said, "Well, ma'am, I am sorry. I'll be praying for me." She went on to tell me in just a few moments how bad things were in her life, and it really caught me. I didn't know what to do. I had to report it. And it ended up, I had to talk to the detective there at the jail for an hour and a half. And I talked to the chaplain. And he said, "Oh, these people have stories and different things." But this woman, when he pulled her name up and he looked, he said, "Oh, that's what she's in here for." And then the detective told me, he said, "This is the first time I've seen this happen in this jail, that somebody like that has come up and admitted something." When we talk about clearing our conscience, when we deal with, and that's another thing, folks, we have to have a clear conscience in serving God. There's just no way around it. And some of these men have asked me, and women, "Hey, but if I do that," a guy came up to me and he said, "Listen, what you're telling me, if I do that, I'll have to spend this many more years." I said, that may be so. But can you live with your conscience the way you're doing? And you know, the sad thing is most people override their conscience so much, yeah, they can live with it.
Yes.
I've had them tell me, "I can face God with that."
Lord, help us today. Having a clear conscience is a secret in living for God. If you can't have a clear conscience, folks, it's going to hound us. There's going to be things that spring up and trouble us. Like He said in Hebrews, a root of bitterness, it'll spring up and trouble us, and thereby many be defiled. So the Lord help us this morning. A clear conscience is necessary. Young people, watch what you do in life and young, when you're young. Be careful. The little things you do, some of those things can haunt you and follow you all of your life. I do believe in having a clear conscience. I believe Paul could stand in front of the council and say, "Men and brethren, I have something to say." He said, "With all conscience, God, my conscience is clear in the matters that I'm telling you." I believe a clear conscience brings boldness. I've watched people over the years, and when they could not look me in the eye, I knew there was something wrong. When your eyesight goes boop, and you can't look at me. I had this one little boy, I was trying to teach him, and I'd come, "Now come here and talk to me. Did you do this?" "Yeah." "Have you done this?" "Nope." And then his eyes would go boop. Oh, I said, "Come here and put your..." "Did you do that?" And he said... I've told the men in jail, when you go to apply for a job, keep your hands on top of the table and look at the people. If you've got shifty eyes and you're moving your feet and your hands go under the table and you can't look at people straight in the eye, there's guilt there. There's guilt. And I sometimes think, "Lord, please help us today as the people of God. Keep your hands on top of the table. Look people in the eye." You ever been arrested? "Yes, sir, I have." "You've been in trouble?" "Yes, I have." "Tell them the truth. I've never seen the like. I'm at a warehouse market, and one of my students that..." You can see how good a job I've done after I tell you this story. "One of the men I've been working with a long time, I walked, he was in front of me, and I just walked up, and I didn't recognize him there. Walked up the counter, and when he seen me, he had a 12-pack of Bud Light, and he dropped it on the ground. And he was like, 'You don't see this now.' And he was scooting that up to the cash register. And I thought, how dumb do I look? What kind of man do you think I am that I can't see a 12-pack? This man thought that he could hide that. And scooting it there on the floor. What in the world are we trying to do with God? Yeah. When it comes to... Don't you know we need a clear conscience this morning? We need to clear things up and get rid of all that trash and things and be honest. I was telling this story to some of the men in jail, and they said, "Well, what would you want him to do?" I said, "Offer me one." "Mr. Bell, would you like..." "No, sir, I don't drink." "Wouldn't you rather be that way with me than try to hide something? Or would you rather try to hide it?" No, we can't do that, folks. Listen, I'm telling you, a secret in living for God is having a clear conscience. If we don't have that, we're not going to get very far. So the Lord help us today. I would to God that He would stir up our minds by way of remembrance this morning. Maybe we forgot some things. Maybe something has slipped our mind or something. Lord, help us to keep things up and up and to be people of integrity, people of character. I have something wrote down. I'm not sure who said this, but you must not expect to toil for the Prince of Darkness all your life and then sup with the Prince of Light at the evening of death. You cannot go from Delilah's lap to Abraham's bosom. And that's true. We can't expect to live for the Prince of Darkness and then go sup with the Prince of Light when this life is over. We can't expect it. It's not fair. It's not fair for those that's given their life and been washed in the blood and living for God. And it's not fair.
So let's settle that in our heart today. I think there's times we need to settle some things. Just write off something. I'm not going to do that anymore. It's done.
Amen.
I'm going to be the man and woman that I should be in my home. I'm going to be the young man at work, and I'm going to be the young man when nobody's watching me. I'm going to be that person that God can depend on, that woman that God is looking for. I'm going to be that.
Amen.
Remember, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor in life. Remember to have a clear conscience. And now let's look in the book of John 3 and 30 and find a very important scripture here, and it goes along with the others we've read. He must increase, but I must decrease. That is a secret. Little of me, more of God. That's my desire.
Amen.
That is my desire. May the Lord bless us today. George Mueller one time said, "Difficulties are overcome when our hearts are ready to do the Lord's will, whatever it may be." Are we facing difficulties this morning? Is it possible we're trying to do those in our own strength? Very likely. And God wants to help us folks to be able, as He said in Zechariah 4 and 6, "Not by power, not by might, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord."
Amen.
God wants to use us, but He wants us to be vessels that are less of ourself and more of Him. If George Mueller could go into a place where there was poverty and there was orphans everywhere and set up a home, and out of that home have people that they ministered to and sent over $1 million to different charities and things and wouldn't ask people for a dime, what can God do with us today?
Amen.
He wants to do some things with us today. But this little key, 3 and 30, write it down. He must increase, and I must decrease. Very simple. Folks, I don't have nothing complicated here. I'm not a complicated person. This is simple, but it works for us.
Yeah.
It works for us.
Amen.
I remember my mom was sick one time, and I didn't know what in the world was going to do. Looked like she was going to die. My dad wanted to take her to the hospital. My brother did, and there was quite a bit of pressure in the home. And I went up to her, and I said, "Mama, what are we going to do?" And I was looking for something, some real revelation, something she had from the Lord. And she said, "Well, we're just going to trust the Lord." That's all she said. And that was all it took. I've been surprised at how in depth we go to solve problems, and right in front of us is the answer sometimes. Having greater faith in God. I pray the Lord will burn into our hearts this morning the small and yet effectual secrets of the Lord that bring results.
Amen.
There are things that bring results. There are things that causes righteousness to rain down upon us. There are things that break chains and habits that get in people's lives and routines and ruts and all the gloom and everything. There are ways to get out of that. There are ways. Truth will set us free. It works every time.
Yes.
When we apply the basic principles of truth to our lives, it will work for us. We don't have to have this stigma that follows us all through life. "Well, this is the kind of person they were." Wow. Look at that. God can do some changing if we will listen to some of His secrets. And they're easy to find. They're easy to follow. They're easy. May the Lord help us to see them and work with them. You know, one thing this morning I just want to touch a little bit on is the word deference. Having deference in life is necessary. Deference is limiting my freedom in order to not cause others to be offended or weakened. And it's what Paul was saying in his writings. He said, "If meat make my brother to offend, I'll eat no more as long as the world stands."
Yeah.
Having deference, being careful. Sisters, listen. Young people, having deference in the way that you dress. Knowing that men are visually oriented. Knowing that they are susceptible to
things that appeal to their eyes. Be careful how you dress. Could we say any more?
Yeah.
If we would use deference, men, in the way that we act and how we conduct ourselves, we might not cause some sister to be tempted. Having deference in life and using that, it's a little secret. Being perceptive. Having a little bit of spiritual discernment. Deference will help us in difficult situations that we go into. Having deference, realizing there are limitations and I have to limit myself. There are times if I see that you have something that's a sore spot, I need to be careful how I conduct myself. Maybe I have the freedom to do that, but I limit that. On my own accord, because I don't want to harm someone else. It's just a little secret. You can just throw it out if you want to, but if you want something that'll help you when you get into difficult situations, deference. Look it up. See what it means. It's limiting my freedom in order to cause others to not be weakened or offended. Be careful. Be careful with your life. We have a great responsibility today. We need the Lord to bless us and help us today to be careful in every walk of life. He must increase, but I must decrease. It's very necessary for us, dear ones, today to have that. The last thing that I want to speak to us this morning about is being dependable. Our dependability is directly related to our dependence on God's ability. In the book of Philippians 4 and 13, what does it say? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me.
Yeah.
Our dependability is directly related to God's ability. The more we put our trust in Him, the more we realize, Lord, this task that You've given me is great. And I can't do it alone. I can't do it by myself. I need You, Lord. I'm facing some hard things. I'm facing some difficult things that I don't know which way to go, but my eyes are on You. I'm not going to be relying in my own strength now to get me out of this situation. Lord, I'm going to ask You to help me. It will do us well today to learn how to be dependable. Who do you look for when you want someone to do a job for you? You want somebody that is dependable.
Amen.
Dependability, I wrote down here in small assignments, is the prerequisite for big responsibilities. Dependability also is purposing in our hearts to do the will of God, whatever the cost, just like George Mueller said. So, here's what I want to talk to us just a little bit about. In the book of Luke 16 and 10, here is something that we desperately need. And to be reminded of these things. Dear ones, please don't think I'm scolding you this morning. I'm not scolding you. I'm not trying to be harsh. I really want to help you. Because if I help you, you're going to help my children. You're going to help someone else. And that's going to help the work of God. And that's my desire to help, to be a helper. That's my calling. I want to be a helper. He says here, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. This has so many truths in it. If we cannot be faithful in financial matters, how can we take care of spiritual matters? Now I'm going to say, in all love and respect, we have to, first of all, be able to take care of and be held as an accountable person, somebody that is dependable, someone that doesn't squander and is not you can't count on them. They have paycheck and then it's gone and there's really no accountability. Lord, help us here. It's a pretty close place to be a preacher, I'm going to tell you, because you're thinking, all right, if I preach this and I'm not living it, I'm going to be in trouble. You're exactly right. And I feel that this morning. But I'm going to tell you, that doesn't change the Word of God. We must learn being faithful. He said, how can he trust to yourself the true riches if you're not faithful in small matters? You might say, that's insignificant. I can serve God and I don't have to be. I can just blow money and I don't have to be accountable and things just gets out of my... my spirituality, it's not hinged around that. I'm going to tell you it is. The Bible says it's so. And I've proved it to be so. We want to be careful, dear one. This is a secret. This is a secret. But if you override this secret and you don't take advantage of it, it'll cause us much trouble. If we're not faithful in that which is least, how can God commit to us true riches? How can He commit to our trust the true riches? Being dependable in small assignments, being dependable in the little things is so necessary for us today. I thought about the musk oxen in the Arctic. They are very dependent on each other. When their young are born and they are in a harsh, hostile environment with cold and wolves surrounding them, those musk oxen will all form a circle around the young ones to protect them. And that also, that circle completes something for the older ones too. They can see in every direction. They work together. They're dependable. You can count on them to do that. Can God count on you this morning? How dependable are we today? How dependable? The Lord is looking for us to be dependable in small matters of life. And it is purposing in our heart to do the will of God, whatever the cost. It's important for us. It's a secret. And it's something necessary. It's something that we need to take heed of and watch out for, because dependable people are hard to find. Dependable people are hard to find. And here is one of the reasons we're not being faithful in small things. Those small things matter. And Lord, help us today. It's the little foxes that spoil the vines. It's the little things in life. If we will look at those little things, and we will take a little record of what little things we have, what little things are hanging around possibly that I haven't been dependable in. Boy, this gets close. Yeah. You know, it does. This gets next to us. But God wants to help us because He's got a great work for each of us to do. But if we miss some of these secrets, we're going to be deficient and we're not going to be able to carry on with what work He has. So what are you saying today? Have we got someone that's called to preach? Someone that's in a responsible place? Do you know one of the prerequisites is you must be dependable? You must be one that is held accountable? Your finances and things are in order? Do you realize that? It's that serious. We just can't get up and be someone of influence when we got something shabby in our life. I hope we see that. Yeah. People look at me and question me. You know, preachers are under a spotlight and you're under a scope. That's fine. That's fine. I want to be an example. I don't want to be a reproach to the work of God. This is a serious place to be in, and I take it that way. God wants to help us today to be dependable. It's one of those secrets that God wants to share with us. He wants us to realize it, and He doesn't want to let it get away from us. Amen. I have one more scripture that I'd like to read to you today, and found in the Psalms 91. Psalms 91.
and 1, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." I say this morning what we need to do is run to that shade. Get in the shade.
Yes.
Get in the secret place. If we're struggling with some things, and there's been problems and baggage that our parents have handed us. Our parents have left us some baggage that we're having a struggle to carry. We're wrestling with some attitudes, and we despise maybe some of the things they've done, and yet we're doing some of those same things in a different way. You know, that's baggage. And God wants to help us this morning to go to this secret place.
Amen.
"He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Almighty," "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty."
Amen.
God wants to help us this morning to flee to that refuge. It's a secret place. And in there you can turn loose of that baggage. You can get strength. You can ask the Lord, "Help me, Father, to be dependable. Help me to be, I want riches and honor in life. I want to be a person of integrity. I want to have character in my life. I want to be truthful. I want to be honest and upright. No shady dealing. I want to be a person that is trustworthy. Lord, I want to be your child." I believe God will help us this morning to be that person. We have to realize in our own strength we're not able to do anything. And if we've been struggling with things for a long time and things have just been popping up every now and then and it all seemed like it comes up over and over, do you know it's a time that we run to that secret place? We start abiding under there. We start getting under there and turning loose of some of the things that's been such a weight to us. The book of Hebrews tells that in the 12th chapter that we should lay down every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Amen.
Folks, we each have a besetting sin. There's a weakness in your life. There'll be some place. There's a little Achilles heel. There's a little spot that is real vulnerable in our life. And we need to recognize and run to the Lord. Lord, please help me. The purpose of our camp meetings and assemblies is for us to edify one another. It's for us to take and gather in all that we can because we're in a great battle. And we're in a battle for truth and right. We need the Lord to help us this morning. Gather in all you can. Take it all in. Digest it. It's good for us. Because tomorrow you may be having a real battle. You may be facing something that's right before you. You're going to need some of the Word of the Lord to help you. And that's why God speaks to us this morning. That's why He speaks to us, and we have these meetings and all the ministers, all the saints and everybody praying and exhorting and singing. That's what it's here for. I want to encourage your heart today. Find the secret place of the Lord.
Amen.
Find the secret place. It's really not that hard to find. You might have to humble yourself and get down real low, but it's there. It's there. God has a special place for you. He has a special little place. And if we'll find that little place, there'll be blessings. There'll be benefits. There'll be so many things waiting for us when we find that. He says to the pride, He said, "I see the proud coming afar off." The book of Psalms in different other places tells us about how the Lord sees the proud, and He also sees the humble. He also wants to help us to find these riches and honor in life. I trust the Lord will bless us today and help us. We have your soul your life at heart this morning. I have no personal gain by saying anything to damage or saying anything that would seem to hurt you. That does not bring me any personal gain. I have a burden that all of us make heaven our home. I'm trying to get there myself, you see. And I think that some of these things have hindered too many times, too many people. And we need to stop this morning what we're doing. Please take a moment. We'll sing a song, maybe two of them here. Take a moment and just ask the Lord, do I need to be refreshed? Lord, is there some refreshing? Is my soul, is it getting kind of shriveled up? Am I kind of struggling with some things, Lord? And am I having some undue pressure in my life? Have I been trying to carry this around too long? If there's something on my conscience bothering me? Lord, today, could you help me? Could you help me today, Lord? I want to drop some of that. I want to get rid of some of those things that's been tagging along with me. Yeah. You know, God hears and sees every one of our attempts and our prayers. You might say, well, I tried it and it just didn't seem like it worked. Keep trying. Keep trying.
Amen.
Ask and it shall be given you.
Yes.
Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be open. Our earnestness this morning will determine our success in our Christian life.
Amen.
If you're not very earnest, if you just, like this man is looking for one of the laziest people, and he came up to one, and he was going to take the money, and another one to do this and get the money. Finally, the laziest one of them all said, just put it in my pocket. He didn't even want to roll it, just put it in my pocket. We often approach the Lord like that. Well, if He comes by and, you know, there's this miraculous something happen, I'll live for Him. He watches us to see how earnest we are.
Yes, that's right.
And this morning, He's looking for earnest people. If we're not earnest about this, these secrets will be hid from you tomorrow.
Yes.
But if you're earnest about it, today you can learn a secret. Tomorrow, the next day, and pretty soon you got a whole pocket full of them. Little things that you've learned, and it's kept you safe, and it's kept you saved, and it kept you out of the traps and snares of Satan. May the Lord bless you today. I hope in whatever decision you make that we'll be earnest in seeking the Lord. I hope that'll be the decision you make. But if it's not, I want you to think about it today. Unless we're earnest with this and earnest about it, we'll probably stay on the same plane we're on.
Amen.
We'll stay there. But the Lord wants to bring you up. He wants to help us all. Let's stand and sing a song.
Amen.
Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He's near.